Welcome back to A Year of Magical Living, a podcast with me, Imogen Roy. Today's Seeing Magic episode is about taking inspiration from the scientific method. And I'm sharing this with you because I had a coaching client last year who told me a story that has stayed with me ever since. And I think it's a beautiful parable for challenging the ways in which we both see the world and behave within it. So my client Lana is truly a fascinating person. She was working both as a professional concert musician and in a neuroscience lab. And the story that she told me was about the false perception from the public of both concert musicians and scientists. You see, she said to me, most people believe that science and scientists are incredibly rule-based, methodical, organized, and rigid, and that most professional musicians and artists are very artistic, creative, and messy. And she said, well, actually, both are in reverse. From her experience, what she'd observed is that working in collaboration with scientists, they were the ones who she had in fact seen being very artistic, very chaotic, very messy, and very creative in that they're constantly putting things together that don't belong together, being experimental, looking for solutions for problems, and not at all rigid or rule-based. Whereas, from her experience, most professional musicians, because that they are there to perform pieces that have already been created, that were written down long ago, it's all about perfection. You as the musician do not get to insert your own uniqueness, your own creativity, or experiment at all with the music. The notes are already written down, you just have to follow them. So it's incredibly methodical. And I thought this was fascinating because I too, being very unfamiliar with the scientific method, had always had this false perception of science being very rule-based and rigid. And in fact, it's not. Science is truly full of very idiosyncratic people, and it's almost a bumbling search where ignorance and failure are not just tolerated, but are absolutely essential to success in science. Because science is based on iterative discoveries, on discoveries and new information being built one upon the next. And science is only true until the next discovery. There's actually nothing rigid about it. And when you look at scientific history, many things that were believed to be true have now been disproven because new science, new knowledge, new experiments have been done. So it's certainly very alive and not rigid at all. And I want to come back to these two words, ignorance and failure, because the more I looked, the more I realized that good scientists actively seek opportunities to be ignorant and to fail. Because it's only in this space of ignorance and failure that you really give yourself a chance to face and evaluate assumptions, biases, superstitions, and to truly push the edges of whatever it is that you're looking at. And I think this is so powerful for us to consider in the context of our personal lives, but also in our careers and in our businesses, where we come out of this education system, which tends to be incredibly rigid and rule-based. There's always a right answer, and you're either getting it right or wrong. And is very, very, it does not make space at all for experimentation, iteration, and creative discovery. Scientific progress is not possible unless scientists are deliberately doing impossible things, pursuing dumb questions, and being willfully ignorant about a topic in order to remain open to all of the potential possibilities that lie there. And one thing that my client Lana once said to me, which stuck in my mind, she said, scientists willingly sign up for a lifetime of failure, where they assume that they may never make a great independent discovery or get credited for something that they did, and yet they willingly go again and again back into the lab, back into the research station to try and try and try. The game is simply to experiment and to further the field. And when she said that to me at first, I thought, gosh, it really goes against everything that we're taught about designing our life for success. And it's remarkable, I find, that there are still people out there who choose that path, knowing all that they know. Their deep reverence and love for the process, their understanding that all discovery is collective and that all progress is iterative. You're simply standing on the shoulders of giants. You're building on the past. That is what science and thus life is all about. That common quote, life's a journey, not a destination. Highly likely that was what first said by a scientist. The more I've looked into science and the scientific method, the more it has challenged my understanding of what failure is. Because in the true scientific method, failure, it's very difficult to define because failure is what moves science forward. Failure is what advances, it just provides information, it points towards other possibilities, it teaches us. A scientific failure provides so much greater understanding, awareness of new dynamics, more possibilities, that how can we really even describe it as not a success? Because it's in alignment with growing the process, it's generative. And I think we too can borrow this new understanding of what failure is. And not because we want to reframe failure so that we can feel better about it, but that we should see it as something that is also advancing us, teaching us. The way we digest a failure is very important. And the more scientific we can be about the kinds of experiments we're doing, and about the way that we're evaluating and digesting our failures, the more we can get this extra knowledge, wisdom, understanding, direction, energy, dynamism, and mine that from the failures, and not just write it off as something to be guilty or ashamed about. And in business, in work, in life, in our careers, I really notice that we are nowhere near as scientific enough as we should be. In fact, in many cases, we're much more like the concert musicians who are handed out the sheet music to practice and rehearse to perfection without question. Often in our careers or in our businesses, we're using somebody else's blueprint. We're using their rules with no awareness of the experiment that created those rules, the environment in which that other person is operating, whether their conditions have anything to do with ours. And then if the method or the blueprint doesn't work for us, we find ourselves wrong, rather than even if we are going to try someone's idea, someone's blueprint, setting it up as a real experiment with a beginning, middle, and an end, controls, conditions, parameters, and giving ourselves a chance to say, did this work? Did this not work? Why? What else happened? What have I learned? And what's the direction for going forward? Doing experiments like this and taking physical action and not theory is so game-changing in your life, in your business. Rather than signing yourself up to a never-ending commitment to something, say a new habit or a new way of doing things, which means that failure is almost certain because we live and work in cycles. It's very difficult to commit to a permanent state of something new before you've even tried it. If you can give yourself experiments to see how something feels, do a small version of it first. Set out the hypothesis. Give yourself a time frame. Make sure that you have all the resources needed to make the experiment fair. Suddenly, life becomes a lot more alive and interesting. And it's a lot easier to get hard things done when you're creating a firm container for them, like a scientist. Far too often, we are focused on perfection, focused on getting it right the first time, seeking validation, and most importantly, not bringing any of ourselves or our own blend of strengths, passion, values to the table, and then wondering why we don't succeed in our endeavors. If we can embrace this more experimental way of doing things, where we get to put our own stamp on things and iterate slowly, this is really where we start to see long-lasting, sustainable success. Because through a thorough commitment to experimenting and refining our own unique process, that process becomes repeatable, and we can start to achieve the same results over and over again. So how can one be more scientist in one's life? Well, the first is to embrace rather than reject ignorance and failure. How many times have you not done something because you were afraid of not getting it perfectly right the first time, or afraid of failing in some way? Be more scientist is about understanding that both ignorance, not knowing exactly how to go about something, not knowing all the steps ahead of time, not knowing exactly how you're going to make it happen, and being ready for it to not go the way you planned, are essential parts of working towards success, of being able to, through the process of experimentation, finding out what that extra information is, finding out your way of doing things, finding out what you need, how it's going to work, and what help is required. And you'll never know that simply by theorizing or waiting for that information to fall in your lap. Scientists know that theory can only get them so far. They have to physically do the experiment, mix the materials in order to observe, well, what actually happens when these two things meet? You won't know until you try is a really helpful mantra when you're trying to be more scientist. What else? Be more scientist is about asking better questions. Okay, you didn't get the result you wanted, but what else happened? What did you learn? What did you notice? What did you observe? What did work? Maybe only 5% of what you did worked. So go and investigate that 5%, because the more attention you put on the 5% that worked, the higher the chance that next time it's going to be 95% that worked. And finally, be more scientist is about committing to the process rather than the result. Now, Of course, whatever you're doing, it's far less likely that you might dedicate your entire career to something and never get to benefit from any of the results, like perhaps a scientist might. But can you commit to show up to your own process, whether that's your creative process, your growth process, your process to becoming a more confident public speaker, and commit to the journey of building on small wins, of learning, of repeating steps, of experimenting over and over again, and understanding that being perfect from the get-go is not the aim. So many of the biggest ways in which I've grown in my business or in my personal life, or the greatest achievements that I've made, have all been the result of crazy experiments. My burnout recovery was an experiment. A year of magical living started as an experiment where I decided to challenge all the rules I'd previously lived by that were causing me to burn out, turn them on their head, and commit to following through for a year in order to see whether I would learn anything about a better way to live. Any new habit or sport that I take up, I commit to as an experiment. I give myself a time frame. I give myself plenty of opportunity to try different ways of doing it, to try it with different people or different teachers, to try my own techniques. And I give myself the freedom to stop if it's not fun or it's not working for me. Align and Flow, my group program, is still an active experiment because I know that this curriculum wants to come alive through me, but I'm not exactly sure how yet. And every time I run the program, I learn a little bit more about what's working, what's not, and then my next commitment is to try a new experiment until I feel confident that the curriculum is being expressed in a perfectly right way. And you know what? That process may take me several years, but I'm committed to doing that because I know, I feel so strongly that I'm moving towards a direction, I'm moving towards something, I don't know what it is yet, but it feels alive to me, and that's what I'm following. In early 2020, I wrote a book proposal, and it was an enormous endeavor. And guess what? It didn't get accepted by the publisher, and I haven't done anything with it. And you know what? I don't see that as a failure, because it gave me so much valuable information. The first piece of information was that in that process, I realized I was not ready to write a book. Because when I realized how much work it was going to be and how important that work was, I realized that I hadn't crystallized my ideas to a strong enough stage yet, and that I wasn't actually ready to put that energy into a book yet. The other thing I learned was that that publisher was not the right publisher for me. Their leadership team have very different values to me, and I would not be happy to collaborate with them on such a project. And there were many, many other things I learned too about how I write best, the conditions, how much fuel I need, all the other constraints I would need to put in place to make that possible, that it was an incredibly successful experiment. And in fact, that book proposal, it didn't become a book, but it became a coaching program. It became my Unstoppable coaching program, which works. And in fact, that material wanted another channel with which to express itself. But unless I had tried to write the book, I would never have known that that's what was happening. I hope today's episode has perhaps changed your mind about what science is, given you some interesting inspiration as to how you can be more scientist in your life, in your work, in your relationships even. I think there is tremendous power to be found in committing to the process rather than the result. and understanding that it is through process, iterations, collaborations, failures, happy accidents, that some of the greatest achievements or blessings come to us in life. And that trying to be rigid and perfectionistic, trying to read from the music, as you might say, does not give us that same sense of creativity or personal design that we might be looking for in certain areas of our lives. I hope you've enjoyed this Seeing Magic episode, and I hope you join me again soon. Bye for now.